Please turn with me to Jonah. We're looking at chapter 2 tonight. We're not going to cover it all, but we'll read through the whole chapter, down to verse 10. So let's hear God's word. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. Yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. For this portion of scripture tonight. So if you've ever been in hospital, I'm sure you're very aware of those monitoring stations that are right by your bedside. Those wee monitors that check your vital signs, the blood pressure, your heart rate, and so on. But in those wee screens, there's a graph that usually appears on them showing the various outputs that it's reading. And so when the doctors or nurses come round, they can look at that and they can see if there's an increase or a decrease. But in this passage tonight, Jonah talks about when his heart was fainting. It was then that he remembered the Lord and prayed. When his heart was fainting, that he prayed. Now, so I was thinking about that. I imagined what it would be like if we were all connected to a wee monitor that actually monitored our prayer life, and that was displayed on a graph. I wonder if we were to look back on our lives this far, what would that graph show about your prayer life? What would it look like for you and for me? Hopefully there'd be something on it every day, and it wouldn't just be flatlining. But I wonder at what times in your life would there be peaks on that? When are the times when you're driven more to prayer and seeking after God? I think we'd all agree that it's not whenever things are going smoothly and we've no concerns in life. Isn't it usually when we're in distress or in despair or in a time of suffering that we more eagerly and earnestly cry out to the Lord in prayer? It's when we're faced with a great trauma that there's a great spike on that graph. In times of great difficulty, we more clearly see our need of God's help and his deliverance in our lives. As I said, I'm not going to cover all of this prayer of Jonah's tonight, but I want to look in particular about what has caused him to pray and to restore that relationship with the Lord here. Verse 1 starts out by saying, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish. Then Jonah prayed, it says. See, Jonah had plenty of opportunities to pray, but he hasn't done so until this point in the story. When God called him to go to Nineveh to preach there, he didn't pray to God about it at all. He didn't seek God's direction. He didn't come into his presence even and bring up his concerns before God. No, instead, Jonah tried to flee from God's presence. Instead of drawing near like a prophet of God should have, he tried to escape from God. As we have heard so far, he's boarded that ship and he headed for Tarshish along with those pagan sailors. And then they came into this violent storm that God had sent. And we saw that even these pagan sailors were crying out to their gods and they were urging Jonah to do the same, but yet he was fast asleep. He was exhausted from running from God because no matter how much he slept, Jonah would never find true rest if he kept running from God and running from his will for him. But see, even whenever these sailors pleaded and screamed at Jonah to call out to his Lord in prayer, Jonah still refused. He didn't turn to him. Through the whole ordeal of the storm, when the ship was being battered, when they were throwing their cargo overboard, Jonah didn't care. Even when he saw that the lives, his own life and the lives of other people were in danger, he still didn't turn to God in prayer. See, his disobedience and his sin against the Lord became such a barrier to him coming into God's presence. His pride and his arrogance continued to keep him far, keep him from calling out to God to save him and to rescue him and those around him. He's even been willing to be thrown overboard rather than humble himself and come before God in prayer. Then when God so graciously and miraculously rescued him, as we saw in chapter 1, verse 17, it says he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights before he turned to God in prayer. Even after he was rescued and taken up by that great big fish, it took him 3 days before he turned to God in prayer. 3 days before anything registered in his wee monitor and calling out to God. Maybe you're here tonight and you've been struggling to come into God's presence in prayer. You feel like you're not worthy, you can't come before him in prayer. You're so aware of some particular sin in your life, some addiction that you keep giving into, some feud that's ongoing with someone in your family or a neighbor that hasn't been resolved. You feel so guilty every time you fall into this problem that you feel that you can't come into God's presence anymore. So you just put it off. You run from God rather than running to him. You busy yourself with other things. You even sleep through it like Jonah did, trying to get away from that guilt. Look, if that's where you're at tonight, you need to call out to God. You need to stop trying to hide from him. Stop trying to run away. Because as we've seen with Jonah, we can't escape from God. We need to come before him. See, tonight we have this wonderful privilege of knowing Christ and all he has accomplished for us. And if you've been saved and are being saved, you're completely forgiven of all of your sin. Yet we are well aware that we're not glorified yet. We are not perfect. We're far from it so often. And we continue to fail and disappoint God day by day. But when we do stumble and fall, let's not run from God in those times, but come before him all the more because we know that wonderful grace that is available in Christ Jesus, where he's willing to forgive as we confess our sins and our need for him. But eventually Jonah did pray to God and he cried out to him in this desperate situation. In verses 2 to 9 we have this prayer which Jonah prayed as he lay confined in the belly of a large fish. I'm sure you're familiar with people coming to get married and close to the wedding day quite often people will get a doing, as they say around here. Well, I had a friend a few years back who, his colleagues at work gave him a doing, but they filled a bath full of rotten fish guts and they put him in it, but the smell was so bad that it made him sick. Can you imagine being inside the belly of a fish where Jonah was, with the stench, the seaweed in it, the gastric acid swirling around him of the stomach? See, although Jonah had been rescued from death in the sea, he was still in a desperate situation. I'm sure none of us would like to even experience that means of rescue. It is in the fish, though, that he offers up this prayer to God as a prayer that leads him up to declaring God's steadfast love and thanksgiving, as mentioned in verse 9. And then he comes out with that great truth that salvation is of the Lord. But in these verses before that, we have this picture of how far God had to take Jonah before he would call out for him to save him. In verse 2, look at what it says. He says, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Although he would still be in great distress in the belly of that fish, it does seem that Jonah had called out in his distress while he was still in the water. And that time of horror as he was thrown overboard into the sea. Yet it was only when he was in a position of complete distress that he called upon the Lord. It is interesting that as Jonah reflects on this, he doesn't think that these things were all out of control, that they were just random events. He knew that there was so much more behind this situation. Because in verse 3, he knew that it was God who cast him into the deep, into the heart of the seas. Of course, Jonah knew it was the sailors who physically picked him up and threw him overboard. But he knew that it was God who was at work behind all of this. It was the Lord, the one who made the sea and the dry land, who orchestrated all these events to bring Jonah back to that relationship with him. Because from the very start of this book, it's clear that the Lord had a purpose for Jonah. He was one of his prophets, remember. The one who was to take this word of the Lord to the people of Nineveh. Jonah was the means in which God would bring that message to this wicked city. Because God had plans to rescue them, to save them through the hearing of the preaching of his word. It was through that they would come to repent and believe. And Jonah was the man who God had chosen to bring this prophet, was the one who would bring that word. We're not told if Jonah had taken God's word to any other people at any other time before this. But it's clear from the first chapter that he has heard the word of the Lord. He'd obviously been in fellowship with the one true God, and this message was made known to him personally. But sadly, as we've seen, Jonah has fallen away. There's been a descent in his life since he tried to run from God and his purposes. Right through chapter 1, we see that he went down to Joppa. He went down to the inner part of the ship where he lay down. And in this prayer, there's this sense that he's going down, down, down as he was hurled into the sea, into the heart of the seas, as it says. He's going down, deep down. I'm not sure how deep you've ever been below water. Maybe you did some of your diving at the swimming pool. But a few years ago, I had the opportunity to do a scuba diving course in Australia. And it was an amazing experience to go 60 feet below the water down to the seabed at the Great Barrier Reef. But the further you went down, the more pressure you could feel upon you. And you realised the weight of the water that was above your head. And how dangerous that situation would be if something went wrong that far under the water. Of course, it was lovely when you had the oxygen tank on and you had the mask and everything was nice and you could swim around. But it would have been absolutely terrifying and disastrous and distressing if you were out there with nothing on, with that weight of the seas upon you, not able to breathe, not able to see a way out. Would have been even worse if it was in the middle of a storm like Jonah was, where you're being tossed about in the currents. A distressing situation. You see, Jonah had no oxygen tank, he had no goggles on. And as he entered that raging storm, he was in complete distress as he went down, down, down to the heart of the seas. See, he went down so deep that he was tangled in weeds, as it talks about there. He was passed over them, they wrapped around him. He went so far down that he went to the very roots of the mountain, down to the pit. You've maybe used the phrase life's the pits sometimes, but this really was the pits for Jonah as he went to the bottom of the ocean, as far as he could go. And you really get a sense of the depths of despair that Jonah was going through here. He talks about being in the belly of Sheol. That's the word for the world of the dead, or in other words, a place of hell. It was like a living hell for him as he descended so far down that he was near death. In verse 5, he says that the waters closed in on him to take his life. He was almost strangled by the seaweed as it wrapped around his head, and as he was running out of oxygen, he sensed this was the end. His life was ebbing away, fainting away. Look at verse 4. I think this is maybe the most hard-hitting part of what Jonah had to say here. He was in distress because he says, "I'm driven away from your sight." It was trying to get away from the sight of God that got Jonah in this position, wasn't it? But now that he sensed this was actually happening and that God was driving him away, he was in great distress because of that. See, the thought of being driven away from God's presence should cause any of us to fear and be in great distress. The thought of being away from God's presence, even for a moment of time, never mind eternity, should bring us to seek reconciliation with God. Of course, we know tonight we've no fear of that banishment from God's presence if we are in Christ Jesus. And if we continue in him through faith and by grace alone, we have been reconciled to God for all eternity through Jesus, but only through Jesus. See, Jonah was being driven to great despair. But it's important that we see that God was orchestrating all these events. God was sovereign over it all as he brought about his purposes and as he restored that relationship with his servant Jonah. But you see how far God had to go to bring Jonah back to him. See, if Jonah had cried out and repented before he got on that boat, things would have been so different, wouldn't they? But he didn't. You could say that he continued to run from God even when he was in water. And so God had to bring him to the bottom. He had to be almost strangled and brought to the point where he sensed his life was fading away. He had to be brought to that point before he remembered the Lord and called out in prayer. See, even when he was confined in that fish for 3 days and three nights, it took that amount of time before he truly approached God and could truly come and offer up this great prayer of thanksgiving for what God had done. It was only when Jonah was stripped of everything, when he was at the end of his tether with no more rope, that he finally called out to God. He knew he couldn't save himself. He depended on God for that means of rescue. Maybe you can look back in your life and you can think of a time when you have reached the bottom. A real difficult, hard time in your life. You've maybe had to come through challenging circumstances. Maybe God has brought you through that bankruptcy of your business or a loss of a job. Maybe it's been through a severe illness or the illness of a loved one. Maybe it's the loss of mobility. You look back and you see that it took these things to bring you back into that true dependency on God, to bring you back into his presence, to fully trust in him, to rely on him, and to be in that fellowship and prayer with him. You realize that you had to be put on your back before you could look up. See, it's only when we reach the very bottom and our whole life seems to have fallen apart, and all our plans and our schemes come to nothing, that sometimes it takes that before we finally realize that we need to cry out to God and depend fully on him. Tim Keller comments on Jonah being brought to the bottom and his sense of going down, but he said this: "It's not simply being at the bottom that begins to change Jonah, but prayer at the bottom." You see, of course, there's many who have reached the bottom, but they have never risen again. They've completely turned their back on God. They have went away from him. They've refused to call out to him in prayer. They've refused to repent, refused to seek forgiveness. You see, God uses circumstances in our lives to bring us to our knees so that we would pray to him, so that we would call out to him in our time of distress. And it was when Jonah cried out in his distress that he could truly say then that God answered him. He could see the result of that as he heard his voice. I wonder, did you pick up the references in verses 4 and 7 to God's holy temple? We're referring to the temple, there's so much that Jonah would have been reminded of. Of course, that was the place where he would have worshipped God from his childhood, where he would have learned the law of God. It was the place where he would have come to worship and offer up sacrifices throughout his days. But what would have been most reassuring, I think, for Jonah was that the temple was the place where he could come into God's presence. And it was also the place where God spoke to his people. In Exodus 25 and verse 22, it gives details of the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat on it. And God had made clear to Moses back then that it was above this mercy seat that he would speak to his people. But for that to be made possible, there had to be sacrifices offered up. And on that day of atonement that came around each year, the blood of that sacrifice was sprinkled by the priest on that mercy seat. And it was through that shed blood that people could come into God's presence and they could come and speak to God and hear from him through the priests. And so as Jonah lay in the belly of that fish and among all that slime and the guts and the smell, he remembered how he had been brought up from the belly of Sheol. He was assured that his prayers would come to God through that sacrifice and that blood that was shed at the temple. He kept his eyes fixed on that sacrifice. Surely that draws our minds to the cross, where the Lord Jesus offered up his life as a sacrifice for our rebellion and for our disobedience and our running away from God. See, even though Christ didn't sin in any way, he endured so much more agony and despair than Jonah did, even at the bottom of that ocean. He endured the punishment for our sin as it was laid upon him. And as our sin was put on him, he was taken to the depths of hell as he felt forsaken even by his Father. Under the weight of sin, it seemed as though he was driven from his sight as Jesus cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was in such despair. But yet the shedding of Jesus' blood is so much greater than any animal that was shed at the temple, wasn't it? Through him we have a certain hope that this once for all time sacrifice has brought true forgiveness of sin. And we here tonight can come into God's presence through Christ. See, if we have been united to Christ, if we have come to faith and trust in him, then we not only can know God, but we have this access to him 24/7, any time of any day. We don't have to look to a temple. We don't have to depend on a sacrifice of an animal, but we look to Jesus, knowing that when we call to him at any time, he will hear us and he will answer us. Maybe tonight, as we're thinking about some of this distress, this is actually very real for you at this present time. You're in the middle of a storm. You're in the middle of a time of anguish. There's difficulties. There's hardships. There's troubles in your life that continually weigh you down. You're completely burdened by them. And as you've continued to sink down under the weight of them, you've maybe become angry with God. You've started to blame God. You find it hard to come into his presence just like Jonah did, because he was aware of all these things. You blame God, you try to run away from him, you try to look to other places and other situations to find a way out. You look even to yourself or to those around you. You turn to old sinful ways, to old habits, to old addictions to try and escape, but they all drag you down even more. We don't need to sink further tonight. But instead, we can cry out to God in the assurance that he hears your voice tonight. He knows the situation that you're going through. And he will answer your prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Many of us face so many difficult times. Only God who will enable us to endure and to find rest in him through that. By his grace, tonight and the days ahead, may we continue to seek to be in that close fellowship with the Lord, where we depend on him at all times and call out to him day by day. Hopefully that wee prayer monitor in each of our lives will be active, not only in times of difficulty, but each day as we depend fully on the Lord and all he has accomplished for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we realize that your word did come to Jonah, your prophet. You had a purpose for him to take your word to the people of Nineveh. But yet, Lord, he rebelled and went against you and turned away from that plan. And Lord, we saw that he sank deep, deep, deep. He went down and he tried to run away from you. But Lord, we realize that you had to bring him to that position of despair and, Lord, brought him to the end of himself, Lord, before he cried out to you, before he called upon the name of the Lord for that great rescue. Lord, we thank you that you did rescue Jonah, that you brought him out of the depths, and Lord, you brought him back to safety. Lord, we realize that you are in control of all things, and Lord, that you continue to seek to bring your people into full relationship with you. We thank you that you have accomplished that great work of salvation through Christ, and that through trust and faith in him, we can come into your presence. We can call upon you at any time, knowing that you hear and you answer. Lord, may you speak into the lives of each one here tonight. Whatever situation we are facing, may you draw alongside. As we call out to you, may we know your answer and your help in these times. Lord, continue to sustain us day by day by your grace. Continue with us in this time of prayer tonight, that we would indeed cry out to you as a church, as your people here, as we seek your will to be done in here and in the world around us. We pray this in Jesus' name.